This is Cross-Platform 4, October 27th, 2006, Episode 3. And welcome to Cross Platform. My name is Luke, and I will be your host for this week. We have a wonderful guest with us today. Let me go ahead and introduce them all. So first I have Christopher Grant. He's the managing editor at Joystick, of course, at www.joystick.com. How are you doing today, Chris?
Doing pretty good. Thanks, Luke.
Well, thank you. We also have Tom Kim from the Gamma Sutra podcast. You can visit that at gdcradio.net.
Hey, Luke.
And we have Philip Kohler from Evil Avatar Radio. You can visit them at evilavatarradio.com or listen to them live on their KUMM radio station up in Minnesota. How are you doing today, Phil?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure as always.
And, of course, we have Alon Wiseman from Chatterbox Radio. You can visit them at chatterboxgameshow.com. How are you doing today, Alon?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad to know my level on the totem pole by being selected fourth in your list. Thank you.
Well, hey, everybody here is well-known, either in the podcasting world or, of course, in the blogging world. So,
Alon, you're the base of the pillar. You're the strong base of the pillar.
And he's also the guy that I envy. Him and Philip are the ones I envy because they get live radio shows and I don't. So.
But my call letters are not com.
That's true. We had that on All Games Radio, that discussion.
Oh, I don't want to start that again. We already had that on All Games Interactive. Oh, I don't want to start that. So anyway, let's go ahead and let's talk about, first off, we had the PS3 and the Wii coming out. EB Games and GameStop were going ahead and they were giving out pre-reservations. And it seems like they both sold out. I know PS3 sold out, for sure. And I know that some places, I know Phil, you've got problems where you're at with no Wii.
Yeah. Let me explain this. Basically what happened with me is Friday afternoon when I got out of class, so it was about 1 o'clock, I called basically every GameStop in the state of Minnesota to see if I could get a pre-order, and every single one of them was sold out, and most of them said that they had sold out within like 5 or 10 minutes of opening. There were a couple that said that they sold out around like noon or 11, but they were all sold out.
Yeah, that's a midnight Walmart special. There's no way you're getting a system without waiting for 24 hours.
The good thing about the Wii is that, if the early numbers are accurate, there shouldn't be a shortage at all leading up into the Christmas holiday. They're estimated to have 2 million systems already built. A UBS analyst is saying they might have as many as 9 million by the end of 06. So,
which is fantastic reversal. I mean, Nintendo's the one known for creating scarcity. And now, for the first time, they might actually reverse that and give us all the systems we want, which I find fantastic.
Well, do you think that they've learned from Microsoft's experience with the Xbox 360? I know Sony hasn't, with how many PlayStation 3s are coming out.
Well, they want to have more. I think they're doing it because when faced with two levels of competition, you can't have the scarcity. They want to produce it and do it cheaply and get it out there.
Yeah, I think it's totally by design. I think the system was built from the ground up to be cheaper to manufacture. You know, they're not looking to build a powerhouse. They're looking to build something that's creative and clever. And the hardware, you know, sure, it's not, you know, everybody gets mad when you call it a GameCube 1.5, but it doesn't have triple core 3 gigahertz processors. You know, it's a little faster than a GameCube processor, big deal. But it's built to be cheap, and they're not having any trouble making them, which is good for their bottom line, and it should be good for anybody who wants to get one this holiday.
That's great for the bottom line, and also, I don't think it's a matter so much that the other places are manufacturing scarcity as much as it's just been really, for both Microsoft and Sony, it was just really hard for them to make their boxes because they were so complicated, and the manufacturer hinged on, like, you know, one or two key components of each of their systems.
Yeah, I know that they were talking about in Engadget that they've got probably 500 items all being made in different places, and that just that one Blu-ray, the Blu-ray laser, pretty much halted them for a couple of weeks and or probably a month.
I mean, the numbers that I had read was that the 360 had something like 800 parts in it, and they had a shortage of the RAM. They had 512 of some kind of DDR RAM. Two companies in the world made it. One was short. They had shortages for 6 months because of that one shortage. So Sony already has a blue laser shortage for Blu-ray. They have something like 1,200 parts in the PlayStation 3. It's a lot more complicated a machine than the 360 even was. And you know, there might be a RAM shortage. You know, they have two different kinds of RAM in that thing. You know, any single little part of it could result in even further shortages of that system. And the reality is both the 360 and the PS3 are in some kind of game console arms race. You know, they're both ridiculously powerful systems. Mm-hmm. And it's just, quite frankly, difficult to manufacture them on that scale.
You think there's a chance that the PS3 might experience shortages for even longer than the 360 did? Because, I mean, I know with the 360, by the time it got to, like, about March or April after release, they were pretty easy to find.
Well, the 360, basically, as soon as they got the consoles being manufactured, as soon as they got them on boats, and the second those boats got here, the shortages were over. They were shipping them over on planes up until that point for months. So as soon as that first boat got there with, you know, container upon container full of 360s, the shortages were gone. But it was a matter of getting their manufacturing plants, giving them enough RAM to make the systems at the frequency that they were designed to be made at. Mm-hmm. So it really, I mean, Sony obviously hasn't said a word. The analysts don't know anything about the production of the PS3 yet. You know, it's feasible that it's starting production. You know, it's probably just getting in now. You know, they're going to be shipping them on planes as well.
Did you think that Sony being so quiet about the PS3 is harming some of the people and not giving people the interest of the PS3?
It's certainly pissing the writers off, I'll tell you that. But I don't know about consumers. I mean, a mainstream consumer, I don't think really cares about the lead up to.
I just wanted to throw this in here as a pro tip for listeners. We were given the tip on Evil Avatar that apparently if you weren't able to get your Wii pre-order from GameStop, Toys R Us is going to start taking them. I think what the person said was on October 29th. So you got.
Are you
going to
be camping out there, Philip? Are you
going
to be camping
out? That's the plan.
You know, I don't even want to get a pre-order. I want to wait in line. And what's a bummer is I actually have a little bit of a story here. Last week, I went to the oral surgeon. I'm going to have to get my wisdom teeth pulled out. Wasn't thinking at all, and I scheduled to get them pulled out November 17th.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to have to change that. But I'm not going to be waiting in line for the PS3, I think, because I don't want to wait in line like for 3 days straight. One for the PS3, stay at the store, and then wait for the Wii. That's a little bit too much. So I'll probably just Saturday afternoon wait for a Wii at a Walmart that opens up at midnight.
No, Alon, you had your share of adventures waiting for your 360.
Yeah, nobody needs to relive that, but thank you for mentioning it.
Oh, yeah.
I had a hellish story.
Well, what happened?
Target can go to hell. You want to know what happened?
Very shortly, yeah. The short end.
Real brief story. Imagine waiting outside for 14 hours in, believe it or not, cold in Phoenix. Some people sleeping on concrete. I was number two in line with a ticket that was specially manufactured and had the number two on it, and then not being allowed to buy our system because a bunch of people stepped in line in front of you the half an hour before it started. And the manager let it happen, and I called headquarters and told them it was happening while it was happening, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll give them a call. We'll wonder about it. And I didn't get my system for literally a month.
Oh. Well, I'm thinking about going over and doing some podcasting, so that'll be fun, interviewing people, seeing how long they've been there. And
yeah, that should be cool.
Try to find the one guy who's going to smash it when he buys it.
just like the iPod? I don't know if you guys ever saw that.
And the 360.
And the 360, yeah. What a jerk.
That's just like buying the tallest ice cream cone in the candy shop in front of like slavering children and then dropping it on the sidewalk on purpose.
Yeah, there's really a sadistic quality to it. Yeah, they had a whole site. I mean, people kept clicking on it and they had ads all over it, you know. Smart buggers.
So are you kind of surprised about the PS3 being sold out, especially from GameStop and EB Games?
Not at all.
Hell no. No, I mean, they sold something like, we did the math, ended up being, I don't know, 10%, I'll say, throw a number out. A very small allotment of the shipment of PS3s that are going to be available. I mean, even still, nobody doubted at any point that they were going to sell out of that first shipment. 400,000 units is almost nothing, you know. There's enough people with $600 to spend just to get that cheap Blu-ray player, not to mention a game system. So I don't think anybody's surprised at it selling out. I think it'll be sold out for quite a while.
I guess the biggest question now is, I mean, we could go to Toys R Us. Is there any places that you might go that maybe nobody thinks about?
Well, everybody's waiting for Amazon. You know, the second that Amazon pre-order opens up, you got to keep your eyes peeled. But I'm not sure. I know I was just in Japan, and I was looking for a DS Lite over there, and they're still impossible to find. And everybody kept saying, well, check supermarkets, you know? Check strange places like drugstores. And I'm not sure we necessarily sell PS3s at our Rite Aids here, but...
Well, I think Alon had the right idea with like Walmart. That's what somebody suggested to me.
Target.
Was yeah, like just go to like
screw Target,
not a Target. Don't go to a Target. Whatever you do, but go to like a Walmart or a Shopko or something on the
Costco,
day of release. Especially in small towns. There's a small town near here, and that's my backup plan right now if I'm not able to get a pre-order.
You know, I'm thinking Fred Meyers. I don't know if anybody was thinking about Fred Meyers, because, I mean, I always used to tell people if they went to GameStop, if they were looking for, like, a game that you probably would never find, just go to GameStop, and you'll probably, I mean, to Fred Meyers, you'll probably find it.
Yeah, that was my idea what Fred Meyers is.
It's a Pacific Northwest local chain that carries...
Oh, it's a Pacific Northwest. Yeah. I apologize. I guess I should tell people that Fred Meyers... But, you know, to check those really small... places that you know that they sell games, but like no one buys them there.
Honestly, it's become like camping out for concert tickets, though. Like, I have this moral opposition to pre-orders, even though I worked in the industry for so long and pitched them all the time. Like, I don't want to do it. I want to wait in line. I want to sit around for 12 hours with people like me. And I mean, I did it even when I had PS2 reservations. I still waited in line in places. And
honestly, if I didn't have like college classes to worry about, I probably would be of the same attitude. But I just don't have the time to worry about even waiting in line.
Listen,
so.
In college, you can wait Saturday for a week. I guarantee it. And you can do your homework in line. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I just have a moral opposition to waiting out in the cold. I mean, Philadelphia is cold. I don't know if you guys know that. I'm not about to sit outside for 15 hours for.
Here's how I feel. If the company Sony, Nintendo, or Microsoft wants to make it difficult for me to get, you know what? Fine. I won't get it. Someone will get it, and eventually I will. If Nintendo wants to make it easy for me to get, then you know what? I will get it. Even if I have to wait like a little while, fine. But I'm not going to kill myself and like walk over coals to get a hold of this thing that I'm paying good money for. And I know I want it and everything, but I have enough other things going on in my life that I can accept maybe not getting it opening day if, you know, something happens and I don't get it.
You know, for all the current gen consoles, I've never waited in line for them on launch day. I have never bought them at launch. I think the last console I bought at launch was like the Dreamcast.
Yeah, have any of you guys bought any games on launch? Because I've never bought a system at launch.
I have not either.
Dreamcast, $99.99.
I bought a PlayStation when it first came out and like bought one game, and that's what I'm traditionally like. But with the Wii, I'm very much planning on going there, you know, buying at least three games, at least one extra controller. I'm going to go all out because this is something that I really want. Even though some of you have heard me bitch about the Wii and I still don't feel as great about it as I used to, I know that it's still going to provide experiences that I haven't had before, and that's what I'm waiting for. I don't want another shooter from PS3 and another, you know, brawler from 360. Eventually I'll get them when the game that I really want for and it's more reliable system, right? But the Wii is the one I want day one and I'm willing to wait for.
Well, I don't know if it's reliable. I mean, the Wii's not even going to have online support until next year.
Who cares? I don't want to play that game with people online. I want to play it with five people in a room. Well, four people in a room.
It's going to cost you a fortune in controllers.
This is the Wii is the first system that I've pre-ordered, you know, for launch day in a long time. And I think part of that is because my wife is just as excited about playing it as I am.
That's actually a really good point, that if you can get the people who aren't normally interested in playing the games, that is... I know a lot of gamers want to not necessarily show off, but they want to experience what they've been experiencing for years with other people, and they really get off on sharing that experience with others, especially ones who aren't normally into it. And so me just getting, like, you know, a new person that I meet just to be willing to play a game that they don't, you know, might not normally play is great, and that is what the Wii is opening up to a lot of us. Hey, here, play tennis, you're going to like it. We'll just play it for 15 minutes, but I bet you'll have a smile on your face, right? And that's an experience. Experiencing someone else experiencing it is an experience in itself, and one that I will appreciate more than most other experiences I have with video games.
With the Xbox camera, is there going to be less problems as there were with the forums where people or live, yeah, live. Where now, instead of having to not have to worry about the anonymity of those forums, now you actually have to talk to that person face to face and actually.
Well, I don't know, maybe, but maybe not.
Well, and now we had the example last time we did the last episode of Cross Platform that somebody gave. I can't remember who gave the example, but about how they were playing Uno and they were playing with their cameras and somebody logged on and they said, oh, this guy is black, and they kicked him out.
Yeah,
so,
that's
I mean,
awful.
I don't think it,
that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. Just it doesn't alleviate the problem at all, which is unfortunate. But
I did not hear that. What happened? They saw that a guy was black and they booted him out?
Yeah.
That's a story that I heard from one of my friends. They said
that is the most amazing story I've ever heard.
Yeah, here's the thing that I'm hopeful of. I'm hopeful, just like Live, I mean, there hasn't really been a killer 360 multiplayer game, you know, for me to go on and test this out. I don't play Ghost Recon much, unfortunately. But whether or not that ranking system's going to work and whether or not that's going to work on stuff. So people who act like that are going to get ranked so lowly so quickly, you know, this kind of social moderation, that those people, you know, will simply won't be matched up with anybody anymore, you know. And I don't know if that's going to be possible. Once a game like Halo 3 comes out, or Gears of War, something that has a really huge multiplayer aspect, I really hope that you don't see the same kind of vile behavior you see on Halo 2.
Yeah, you're right. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah,
I know.
It's really going to take a huge game to get enough people online to start doing this mass amount of moderation, this pure moderation. But I don't know. I mean, the first 10 minutes, I got my 360 camera a couple weeks before it came out and put a post up on Joystick. Within the first 10 minutes I had it plugged in, I saw a naked ass.
God.
And the camera wasn't out yet. I mean, nobody else had it. You know. And so just doing the math on that, like the percentages, the chances of you seeing a naked ass when that thing's actually in retail are really,
well,
really high.
I guess that says something about the games journalism industry.
Yeah, I don't understand. I know XBL was talking, they had a big thing with girls gamers, and they had a big round table with girl gamers talking to them about what they thought about the rating system. And they all like, oh yeah, we use it all the time. And they were wondering, do a lot of the guy gamers use it a lot, or do a lot of gamers use the rating system? Because the rating system is really good.
I don't know. I just have given up playing on Live, period, because there's just far too many people on there, in my opinion, that I would just rather not deal with. Either that, or I just turn my headset off.
Yeah, I know Halo 2 is that way too right now.
Yeah,
I just end up playing with friends.
Yeah, I play with my friends. Yeah. That's what I do.
I mean, it's awesome, but you know, every once in a while I log on and none of my friends are online. I'm like, I really would love to play a game right now, but I'm not about to go on Live and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be a brave person to do that these days. But I think that's maybe why, you know, I don't know. I have hopes that perhaps stripping away some of that anonymity might confer a little more civility in the space. But I'm not sure, because there's always going to be, you know, as long as you can't, you know, there's no real consequence to acting like a jerk. And as long as there's no consequence to it, people will act like jerks.
Well, I would think if your face is being shown, then you would feel a consequence, but I don't think anyone will actually show their face. They'll just turn it to a comic book or turn it off if they want to be a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it has to be on. You know, there's people, if they're going to show something, you know, just turn it away. I mean, we've already gotten tips, and of course there's been no images or anything, but we've already gotten tips of people saying that they've seen porno on it. Like, people have just turned the camera towards the screen playing porno and all kinds of fun stuff. And the surprising thing is that a game like Uno doesn't have... It's not off by default, which strikes me as very odd. You know, very
yes,
odd decision.
Yeah.
And I don't know... I mean, I really think that's the kind of thing that they should do, a small update, just to turn it off. I mean, a little switch, off by default, set it on if you want. And that's what they keep saying. Well,
yeah, that's
what
somebody, like, well, that's what somebody was playing. Somebody was saying earlier, I've never played, or I haven't played Uno since the camera was released, mm-hmm. but somebody was saying it sucks because now, no matter what, when you play, whenever you get into a game, there's always that, like, 5 seconds before you can turn the camera off where you have to stare at somebody's balls.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's clearly a marketing
decision
turning on by default, though. I mean, we can understand that, I hope.
Well, I understand why Microsoft might have done that, but it just doesn't seem, you know, they've been so in tune with the rest of their user community lately that seems to be a huge oversight. I mean, sure, a company can shamelessly take advantage of new technology and say, we're going to force you out to see how cool it is, with disregard to how it affects the community for positive or, you know, or ill. But, you know, it just seems to me to be an oversight. I'm kind of with Chris on this one, because you would have thought that they would have, you know, done some kind of a survey or poll of the community, or at least figured it out, because they've been pretty good with other things.
They've said that future games are gonna be off by default, you know, and they make a big point out of saying that there's these parental settings, but it's just strange that this one, the only one that I'm playing, the only one that I think most people are playing with camera support, isn't.
Do you think that with the Wii, and they're gonna have the friendship codes? Do you think that's gonna help out? I mean, because now you have to actually have the friendship code before you can actually play with them online.
Well, we're still not sure about that. I mean, they hint that there might be one friendship code, which is no different than one really obfuscatory and obnoxious gamertag ID, you know, right. As opposed to this kind of weird multi each cartridge per console system of, that the DS has, which is really confusing. So they might just go to a one code system, but I don't see it being any different. I mean, you still get your friend's codes. You could still probably maybe invite people to be your friend after a randomly matched multiplayer game.
Well, I think Nintendo's kind of dipping their toe in the water in this one because, you know, as all of us know, they've never been active in the online space. So, you know, they know that they'll have to offer this feature because everybody's basically demanding it at this point. But as to how it's going to be moderated and run, I think they're going to take their time and learn how to do that.
Can I tell you, Chris, I've been using my friend's 360 camera for the last couple of weeks because he just got it. And not once have I seen even someone's picture in their profile, which is taken with a camera. I was only playing Texas Hold'em. I didn't play Uno. But
did you see my post, Alon?
Your post?
You saw it, right?
Texas Hold'em?
No, on Joystick about Uno with the butt.
I think I did, yeah. How you saw it very, very quickly.
Yeah, well, for the first 10 minutes of plugging the camera in, 2 weeks before the camera's out, I mean, I can't believe people aren't seeing more butts.
It seems Texas Hold'em doesn't support it, or maybe under certain circumstances, like if everyone has the camera, but so far it seems it doesn't support it at all, even though it's in the brochure for the camera.
Oh, I thought you meant it didn't support butts, which was
Well, I interviewed Major Nelson, and he said, and I asked him that specific question in my interview, like, what are you going to do with the camera with, like, obscene pictures? And he said, oh, we got things going on. We'll take care of that.
Yeah, that's just going to be a user rating system, I'm sure, which is really the only way to handle it. It's just that there needs to be a parental feature so that you can turn off all camera acceptance in every game, in every scenario, everywhere.
Well, there is.
Say no cameras.
Yeah,
there is. It's in the Xbox Live settings. It's outside of the game.
Okay.
My curiosity is that why each game, even if that's enabled for camera support, each game should just come with it turned off. You know, just in case. It just seems strange. But no, they do have a family support setting.
Okay. Yeah. Now that you say that, I actually remember it being there in the settings. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's enough for me to be satisfied. But they should be well aware of the implications of video streaming over that there interweb.
Alon, you have far too much faith in the typical American family when it comes to their knowledge of how their kids use video games, unfortunately.
Well, but listen, if mom buys a camera, oh, well, what can this camera do? Stream video? What else is it going to do?
Mom's buying games that aren't appropriate for their kids in the stores, so.
Well, that's because they're okay with it.
I know. Well, there's a book I have. Do you remember Bias, the Undocumented Truth of CBS News Reporter from Bernard? It's a book I read a long time ago, and it's fascinating. He says, like, the number one untalked about story of the 90s was the growth of the latchkey kid. And I kind of see that as probably part of the ideas, too. It's just that we don't have any, like, the parents are more interested in other things than trying to keep their family together, and that you can kind of see that, kind of, you can see the things that are happening, like violence being the worst violence and problems happening from 3 to 5 in the country.
So. You know, it's an interesting point, Luke, because have any of us worked game retail? Alon, you said, I think, at one point you worked game retail?
Yeah, I worked game retail for a large portion of my life.
Yeah, I did too.
Did you guys like see any I would love to do an interview with a bunch of like EB store managers and have them share their horror stories.
I was a store manager.
Really, really interesting podcast.
Yeah. I loved it when we'd have the parents come in and go, okay, we're going to give you the Grand Theft Auto Vice City. And then I'd talk to my friend who was very well spoken. I go, hey, come over here and tell this mom what they're going to expect their kids to be watching.
Yeah.
And he'd go off about the violence.
I worked as a manager in Massachusetts, but then I also worked part-time while I was going to school in Arizona. I worked part-time at the EB across from my school. And there's a very large Mexican population here, a lot of people who don't know English at all. And so the kid will know English. The kid saying, here, buy Grand Theft Auto. And the parents won't understand anything. But when I say prostitutes, drugs, alcohol, they understand those three words. And they say, oh, no, 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 no. Right? I pointed out, I say, there's going to be prostitution and drugs. And then, you know, they get Jack and Daxter.
Well, you know, you guys are doing your jobs at least. That's, you know, encouraging.
Yeah. I just feel bad for the ones that you tell them all that and they're like, yeah, I don't care.
And that's fine. Honestly, if the parent wants them to look at that, I was fine looking at boobs when I was 13. And if my mom was okay with it, I would have been even more okay with it, right? I had to do it behind her back. If parents are okay with their kids looking at that and they monitor their kids' usage so they doesn't turn into bat insane Jack Thompson, but reversal, that's cool. I'm fine with kids seeing that content as long as it's understood and monitored and done in an okay environment, right?
Right.
Sure.
But
sure.
If he gets it tricking his parents, that's an issue. And that actually brings up the point that perhaps the camera, because it has much potential for misuse.
I don't know. It's because it's the whole thing about change. You know, rating may change with game. I mean, there's no way for game companies to, you know, I don't know if that's fair either, because there's no guarantee that it's going to be used for bad purpose when you buy it to begin with.
It's like punishing it before it's performed a crime. I mean, it's
Well, I don't consider it a punishment, though. It's simply a warning.
Well, right? An M rating is a punishment for a 15-year-old who can't buy it, you know.
Yeah, but then if he's going to use it, if his parents have put in a restriction on it so he can't use it anyway, it's really the same thing.
Right. Well, I just find it interesting, and I'm hoping that the ESRB, especially with them dealing with Penny Arcade and stuff, that it'll actually become more apparent, because I think if parents understood the ESRB and understood exactly what it does, I think a lot of problems would go away. But
I think it's more of an issue with parents understanding the medium, because like they all grew up with movies and television, but they haven't grown up with games, and you know, by the time that like, you know, Phil and you and Alon are parents, then it won't be an issue because you'll know, you know, what the deal is. But a lot of parents even now are not that well versed in the medium, and they frankly don't even have a context. Even if they were to sit and play games with their kids, it's still not the same thing. You know, they could sit there and play games or watch television with their kids, and they have a proper context for understanding and interpreting and discussing what's going on the screen with their kids, you know, in terms of kind of active viewing with the family. But in terms of games, it's like, it's interesting, you know.
I still really struggle to understand how parents can understand the ESRB rating system, because it's what, 4 or 5 different ratings, and they're right on the front of the box, printed really big.
It cracks me up. But what does the M stand for? You know, like, I don't know.
It's not so much that they don't understand it. It's that they haven't invested the time or the public awareness to have it sink into the public consciousness. I mean, it's an interesting point, because after I did my Fat Picks show on game politics, actually, I got accosted in the train by some, well, I didn't really get accosted. This guy was sitting next to me, and I was editing audio. And he was kind of like asking me questions, like, oh, so what are you doing there? I'm like, oh, I'm editing audio. Well, what, do you work for like a, you know, radio station? No, I just do this stupid podcast thing. And he's like, yeah, my kid was telling me about this podcast he listened to about, you know, violence in games or something. And it turned out it was my show. So we spent the remainder of the time talking about the issue. And he said, yeah, it's like, I can't tell my kids what they can or can't do, in the sense that I can tell them don't play this violent game, but I can't monitor them 24/7, and if they want to play it and they can get their hands on it somehow, I have to hope that as a parent I've educated them to the point where they can monitor themselves with the kind of content they put in. When they reach a certain age, it's just the case. So I said, well, how old's your kid? And he's like, well, he's like 14 years old, he's a guy, he's a boy. And I'm like, what kind of games does he play? Do you talk to him about it? Do you discuss it with him? He's like, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how to broach that subject with him, because it's like, he just starts talking about stuff that I have no context to even discuss. I'm like, well, do you play games with him? He's like, yeah. And I think the game he said his kid was playing at the time was Soul Calibur, like Soul Calibur 3. And I'm like, well, what do you see when his kid's playing the game, when your kid's playing the game? He's like, I see people with swords hitting each other. And that seems horribly violent to me. I'm like, well, yeah, but do you talk to your kid about what he's enjoys about that game? He's like, actually, for that one, I did. And I'm like, well, what was he talking about? Was he talking about like liking the fact he's hitting people with a sword, or was he talking about something else? He's like, oh, no, no, no. He was talking about how, you know, how far away you have to be when you hit this person or that person, and like what kind of, you know, why you have to use this person versus that person in terms of the balancing. I'm like, well, that says to me he's not looking at the game in terms of, you know, taking a big metal object and trying to decapitate someone. That says to me he's examining the game in terms of its systems.
So maybe you shouldn't worry so much about that. I mean, if he had a propensity toward violence, and was talking about how much he liked whacking them bitches in the head with a big metal object, then I'd be worried. But it doesn't sound to me like you've got something, anything to worry about. But aside from that, it's like he didn't even know how to talk to his kids about games.
I know. I think that's probably the biggest problem is I don't think parents are trying are communicating with their kids about exactly what they're doing. I mean, they and we're going back from that age where the parents wanted to be the friends of the kids and didn't want to do anything bad or getting to get become the parent. And now we're getting kind of back into it's kind of going back the other way where people are kind of starting to take responsibility and become more of a parent figure. But well,
it's really funny if you listen to what you guys are talking about, that it sounds exactly like the 21st century equivalent of talking to your kids about condoms or talking to your kids about drug use. I mean, our parents are, oh, I don't even know how to bring it up. Like it's some kind of awkward or uncomfortable or impenetrable mess that they can't even begin to fathom. You know, I think, it's a perfect stepping off point for Microsoft's big bus tour that they announced, where they're going to be driving a bus around the country to 21 cities, talking to parents about the rating system. You know, it's the kind of thing that strikes us all as kind of like much ado about nothing. I mean, how could parents possibly not understand the simplest thing, like a big letter that says E for everyone? You know, that's probably what you should be looking for if you have an 8-year-old. But
I think it's really a different issue, Chris, to be honest. Like what Tom said about really penetrating the public consciousness. I deal with customers because I deal in a customer support position all day, right? And you make the realization that even obvious things aren't obvious to people, not because they aren't really obvious, but because it's something that's foreign to them on even the smallest level. They need their handheld to go any further with it. And so if you were to just sit down with them for a second and say, all right, stop and listen, E, everyone, M, mature, PG, G, R, whatever, equivalent, all right? Games have explosions, games have drugs, games have this. It might soak in, but it has to become ubiquitous for it to really take hold in their brain. And what Tom was saying about how when, you know, if I become a parent, God forbid, one day, then this won't be an issue. And we're in that awkward growing phase where there's the authority group in the world right now didn't have these when they were growing up, so it's not part of their life or part of their understanding. And it's not that they feel awkward approaching their kids like a condom. And I know you were just joking, really, but it's not that it's awkward. It's just that it's unknown. And if they were to take a while, but, you know, they're adults. They have lives, and they're not taking that time to make it part of their life. They're only doing it because it's part of their kids' lives, and that which makes it really difficult to honestly sink in when they don't care about it except for means of authority.
I mean, do you think a huge bus that's traveling the country whose total purpose is just to educate parents is going to help them at all?
I think it's going to help, but only on the level of the three people they actually talked to that day. You know, it's not going to do much for public awareness.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be tons of local news and newspapers coming in trying to find out why the heck they're there and what kind of... They might have like a small blurb, but it's probably going to be in the back of the lifestyle newspapers where nobody will be able to read it or will read it and forget about it the next day, which is sad.
I think it's a noble gesture, though. I mean, whether it's effective or not for PR purposes or not, I appreciate the fact they're spending the money and taking the time and hiring the people to do it.
I'm all for it in that respect. I totally agree with you that it shows that they're putting towards an effort. And Microsoft actually done far and above, you know, what I would ever have expected of a large corporation to do in that respect. They've done excellent jobs with parental controls. And not that I think it's actually been effective in stopping people, but it's there and it's available for the parents who care and who want to take the time to figure it out, right? They're the parents who are going to be unaware all the time. But those kids are going to, if they're not playing video games, they're going to be doing something else that their parents are unaware of. And so it's really, there's parallels everywhere. And it's, as long as they're necessary, I'm happy.
I think one of the funny things about that situation, it's really savvy, is that if you look at the 360, especially if you look at the old Xbox, it's not the kind of console you think of a lot of kids playing, you know? That whole idea of busing a truck around the country to teach parents parental controls for the 360 seems to have a kind of second motivation of also convincing parents that this is a console that kids do play and it has content for kids, which...
Yeah, that's weird because the Xbox, I've always thought of the Xbox as more the adult console because I know the Xbox has had the most percentage of mature games on their system, while PlayStation 2 and GameCube, you could say, has the most percentage of E for Everyone games, and so... I know that Nintendo's doing their Fusion Tour, but I'm not sure. I don't know why they're not doing an ESRB thing like Microsoft is.
Well, I don't know. I think, Chris, you brought up two really good points. One is, I don't think you were joking entirely when you're talking about parents addressing this games issue much like they address talking about sex and condoms. Because for a lot of them, the perception is that games are this kind of, you know, forbidden fruit. You know, it's not only the fact that it's unknown to the generation, which automatically makes it suspect. It's also the fact that everything they've ever seen in the media talks about how violent they are and how bloody they are. And, you know, the only as far as most of mainstream America goes, they would think that, you know, 90% of the retail offerings in game stores are all game Grand Theft Auto clones. But, you know, we all know that's hardly the case by the, you know, number of titles sold and the genres, you know, out there on the shelves. But that's the only thing that gets, you know, airplay. That's the only thing that gets, like, you know, news coverage. So that's what they think it is. And the other sense about, okay, well, so they have this bus tour going around promoting, you know, awareness to the ESRB. Yeah, sure, I think. I don't put it beyond Microsoft to use that as some kind of a publicity vehicle, all puns intended, to say that their console, perhaps by, you know, association, is one that's also family-friendly. And to address your issue, Luke, with, okay, well, why isn't Nintendo doing this? Or it seems strange that, you know, the console that Microsoft is the people who's doing this. Well, okay, so you're not known for being family friendly. Well, it gives you all the more incentive to try to make your, you know, to try to broaden the appeal of your machine.
And I think that we've seen, like, with stuff like Cameo and Viva Pinata, that Microsoft, for better or worse, is trying to broaden their appeal a little bit and have more kid-friendly games, even though obviously there's still a lot more shooters on the 360 than anything else.
I was listening to the Jack Thompson judgment, and he talked about how, you know, he was all happy about, like, oh, he gets to see the game finally, and the judge, it looks like the judge is going to pull him my way. And then afterwards, he gets all pissed off, and he says that, oh, he didn't give me enough time, and I didn't get to do all this stuff.
Well, and did you guys read the letter he sent to the judge?
Yeah.
Just completely juvenile, terrible stuff. Like, I couldn't believe it.
He's done the same thing in, I think it was Louisiana, where the governor and the attorney general supported his bill. And then halfway through, I mean, our columnist, Dennis McCauley, who writes Game Politics, wrote a column on this specific thing where he, you know, halfway through the whole thing, and it looks like everybody's on his side, he turns around and you know, it's like eating your young. I mean, he made this really nasty press release to the governor about how the attorney general was pusillanimous and wasn't doing anything and was weak and inept. And this guy, you know, was a right-wing moral conservative supporting Jack Thompson's, you know, law that he wrote. And it's very strange. I mean, his loyalties are difficult to peter out. I mean, Destructoid, one of their writers, not a blog I really care much for, but they had a writer in the courtroom, and he talked to Jack Thompson and said he seems really reasonable, seems like a nice guy, etc. And that's something that everybody who's ever talked to the guy has always said. They always say he's really personable, that he's really charismatic, and that he's friendly.
Well,
Alon,
you interviewed him a while back, didn't you?
Yeah, and that's what it was like on my interview. But the thing is, he's like a boiler, you know, like a tea kettle. Like, you'll talk to him for a while, he'll be cool, and then all of a sudden, he starts tipping over that edge. And I don't know if it was Dennis who did the interview for Game Politics with him.
Dennis did a really long interview with him.
Yeah. Dennis's interview honestly paralleled mine in a million different ways. It was like exactly the same thing. It was 80 minutes long. It started off with a big thing, kissing his ass, how, like, we're not here to screw with you. We just want to hear you talk. And then he went. But the difference with the Game Politics interview is that he went very quickly into this whole thing about, you know, talking about how he's Christian, and it basically turned into a realization for me, because I didn't realize he was, you know, right-wing Christian agenda. I made that realization, and he made it obvious. Where on my show, he never once mentioned that, which was good, because I would have, like, turned off the mic right away and just walked away. But he's that way, where he'll talk, he'll be cool, he'll be collected, and then after a while, he just, the insane, like, clicks in his head and just goes nuts. It blows up, and he's an idiot, and that's the way he is all the time. It's just that he's able to cover it up for just long enough to do an interview on CNN. But he's really
exactly
nuts.
He's really lucky the mainstream media doesn't do 80-minute interviews because he'd f*** up everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. But luckily, they all do 30-minute sound clips, and he can come off like a hero. But meanwhile, I mean, we refuse to deal with him. He spams our comment section all day long. And Dennis McCauley at this point refuses to deal with him because, you know, there's all kinds of personal bad blood between them at this point.
The guy seems to have no life because it's not just your two sites. Like he must just sit on his computer all day and look for any kind of forum posting on the subject of video game violence or media effects. And he's waited in all kinds of strange places. Like Business Week had a blog where he weighed in, and it's really this guy just doesn't have a life.
I know. I've been waiting for him to get on my blog, but I guess I'm still under his radar.
Very honestly believe that if you. And I haven't seen a measurement or what declares insanity, but I think he's very seriously stepped over the borders of what is commonly accepted in today's world as sane behavior. I really do think that he's stepped over boundaries. And I never really have said that before, but the things that he's done lately and just in the past year have been such examples of him doing things that are so far out of the norm, but he's in a position of power because he's a lawyer. But it's falling apart right in front of his face. We all can see it. And it's really strange to see it happen so publicly and for him to allow it so much. I don't know if us constantly badgering him has taken him over the edge, but something's wrong with him.
I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily think that the mainstream sees him as a huge failure and a laughing stock. I mean, I think we do, and I think it's abundantly clear to us. But he still gets mainstream media exposure. He just had his own law passed. I mean, that's kind of a big deal in Louisiana. You know, from a legal point of view, if you're helping craft legislation.
To be fair, though, it was Louisiana. just saying.
Well, it's crazy because they were talking about Destructoid that one of his arguments was he pulled out a giant slingshot.
Yeah, he snuck in the courtroom because it was made of wood, so it made it past a metal detector. But regardless of these strange stunts he pulls, it's like, well, the reason he keeps getting media exposure is because it's good. Whatever, it gets the ratings and it's whatever, it makes for some colorful journalism. That's the only reason he gets exposure at all, is because it's kind of a, you know, soundbite hot point issue. And to actually delve into the issue of media effects and the violence and all that, it's, you know, it would take more time than the American public is prepared to really deal with, like on a news, you know, soundbite friendly format.
And that's why I'm so glad that we, like all of us who do podcasts and are willing to give video game coverage more than a 30-second soundbite, we have all sort of universally agreed to not talk about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're talking about it now, but like, I haven't talked about it for a good year for more than 15 seconds on my show. And I've seen that pretty much across the board, except in game politics. They still cover a lot because it's very, very relevant.
Well, I think like when we talked about this story on Evil Avatar Radio for our last episode, basically what we said right off the bat was, well, listen, we can sit here and talk about how crazy Jack Thompson is for the next 20 minutes. But I think we all just kind of agree about that. And we're just preaching to the choir, so there's not really much point to it.
Exactly.
Bingo.
Yeah, I'm the only thing I'm worried about is what is he trying to accomplish? I know he's trying to be a right-wing Christian, but it's sounding more and more like he's trying to get into politics, or he feels like there's some kind of that his work is the right thing to be doing.
I think it's a moral crusade.
I think he feels like he's doing the right thing. Yeah.
But I think for the most part, the video game universe, especially the hardcore gamers, the podcasters, the bloggers, have all agreed that Jack Thompson's pretty much the perfect person to have in this job because he keeps messing up so much. You know, he goes off the deep end and says ridiculous things like sends letters to attorney generals when they're doing the work for him, saying crazy stuff. I mean, that's kind of ideal for us. If we had somebody that was really competent and savvy in there.
Yeah, we'd be screwed.
Yeah.
So here's my question then. How many of you guys are going to be buying or at least playing Bully?
Yeah. I'm glad he's...
I'll give it a try. I mean, I might rent it at this point, but who knows? Okay. I mean, actually, you said Nicholas came away from Rockstar feeling like it was a much more solid game than he thought when he went in.
Yeah.
Nicholas himself.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of surprisingly good things about it, more than I would expect it originally, I guess.
All right. Well, I want to go ahead and thank you guys for coming in and talking with us. Again, this was Chris Grant from Joystick. You can visit him at www.joystick.com. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks. That's with a Q also, just in case anybody doesn't already know.
Also, we have Tom Kim from the Gama Sutra podcast. You can visit him at gdcradio.net.
Thanks, Luke.
We got Philip Kohler from Evil Avatar Radio. You can visit him at evilavatarradio.com, or you can go to kumm.org on Friday nights and listen streaming live on Friday nights.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Phil. And of course, we have Alon from Chatterbox Radio. You can visit them at chatters.com, right?
Oh, you know, you were so close this time. Chatterboxers.com or chatterboxgameshow.com. And of course, we're also live on 1100 KFNX News Talk Radio in Phoenix, Arizona.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. I think we had some great talks and everybody had a fun time. So we'll go ahead and we'll sign off for this episode, and we'll come back again and we'll have a couple more people from the podcasting and gaming journalism, and we'll talk a little bit more. So thanks for coming.
Thanks a lot, Luke. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Luke.
Yep.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for listening to the show. I hope you guys had a wonderful time listening in and what people in the gaming journalism world are thinking. Remember, if you guys ever want to go ahead and listen to other shows, past shows, you can go to our website at www.gameacthotline.com and check it out and subscribe to my weekly podcast, The Game Act Hotline. I want to go ahead and thank Null Sleep for letting me use his music for the show. And if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, you can email me at gameacthotline@gmail.com. And if you're a journalist and want to be on the show, you can go ahead and contact me at that email address. So thank you guys for listening in, and I'll go ahead and tell you guys, turn your video games back up, and have a great week. Remember, the opinions expressed on cross-platform are the opinions of the person and not of their companies or subsidiary companies. Game Act Hotline, copyright 2006.